State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's good, everybody? It is our favorite time of the year here at the Black Effect. We're heading down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival. And we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast festival for more details.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong,
and asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Yep, Ghetto Boys is back and reloaded. All in your mouth, yeah, now deep throated. This is for the streets, the real, the railroaded, the disenfranchised, the truth, the scapegoated.
And they know it, we speak the truth, so they quote it, cause we wrote it. The north, south, the east coast, it's the GB knocking, we're keeping your head bobbing. It ain't no stopping.
And once the beat drops in, violins, the system is so corrupt, they throw the rock out their hands and then blame it on us. It's GB. Don't get it twisted. On code and we ain't dancing for no buttermilk biscuits.
It's Willie D, y'all. Scarface is in the building. Collectively, we are the Ghetto Boys. Reloaded. With another episode of information and instructions to help you navigate through this wild, crazy, beautiful world. In the studio, Kia, Erica, Sydney, Rosa, David, the love guru.
There you go, baby. There you go, baby.
And spokesperson for Kevin Samuels family, attorney Dennis Sperling is in the building, y'all. I appreciate all y'all coming through. I'm gonna start with you, Dennis. Kevin Samuels has said some controversial things about men and women with his objective perspectives on relationships in the Black community specifically.
Right.
Social media is a soundbite for our community. Like, everybody had an opinion about Kevin Samuels' demise when he died, right? Some supportive, some very, very vindictive and evil, downright evil. Was Kevin Samuels, in your opinion, a controversial person? But and also, was he misunderstood?
Well, I think that we use the term controversial because the main society at large did not have anything to controvert what he was saying, and therefore he was controversial. But he had his logic, and it was based on facts, whether you read the CDC reports and the things that he studied. And from that point, he expounded on that, and then he related to how it affected society. It's not controversial. Basically, he was just speaking facts and giving his opinions, and that's it. But, you know, as far as the merits of his actual work, they stand alone, you know. And I'm here today not speaking as the spokesperson for the family, or as their attorney. I'm not their attorney, and I'm not speaking as a spokesperson. I was his friend, and soon to be business associate. And so was he misunderstood in the to the vein that mass media or YouTube was not his final stop? Yeah. I mean, we had plans to basically revitalize some industries that Black Americans lost 50 years ago. So, you know, this was not about, you know, Kevin Samuels. This is about the Black community at large. He loved the Black community. That's why he continued to talk to the Black community. He realized after talking to Black men for 5 years that he can get these men together, but if they don't have suitable mates, then it serves no purpose. It's just going to go off and marry women from other races. That's what he thought. And so that's why he was frantically every night going back and forth. Miss, why don't you deal with this guy? You're average. He's average. Y'all be together instead of thinking you can get some guy who's worth $100 million and you don't qualify for that type of man. Let's lower those expectations. And unfortunately, a lot of people responded negatively because people like to live in, you know, an unreal world. Yeah. That's my interpretation.
What do you say to women who say that, yeah, he spoke some truth, but he didn't have to be so disrespectful?
Well, you know, I don't know what to say. We live in a harsh world.
The world is disrespectful.
Yeah, we live in a harsh world. And, you know, sometimes things people say may offend you, but you have to take the meat from the bones. And if it applies, then use it. You know, I mean, people have spoken to me harshly. I don't wish death upon them. I may disagree with them, but we can talk about that in a logical manner. Was there truth to what he said? I dare you to find a lie in what he said. Did you not? Did it burn your ears? Maybe so, but it was still truth. And so that's what we have to, that's the part that I think will happen in the next 5 to 10 years. People will reanalyze his work and say, well, you know, now that I'm not so emotionally attached to it, I'm not so angry about it, I see the truth in what the man was saying. That, I think is more, again, I think his work will stand on its own.
And my question would be, would they listen if he had said it any other way?
That's an excellent point, and I've actually talked to him about that. You know, he said, you know, the thing is, you got the major networks, you got cable, you have internet, you have all these distractions for human beings. And then on top of that, you have a generation of people who are not used to listening to anything for any extended period of time. So unless you say something that cuts through the noise, the message will never get out. Now, I recognize what he was doing very early on, even before he and I became friends. And I saw what he was doing, and I saw the effectiveness of it. And so, you know, I get what the man was doing. I get the point. I get it. Sometimes you have to talk to people in a language and in a manner in which they can understand, because that is what communication is. Merely saying it or writing it is not sufficient. You have to be able to communicate your ideas to them. And he was an effective communicator.
Are there any women on the panel who would have listened to Kevin Samuels without the insults?
Me.
You would have.
I would have. And to be honest with you, if a person actually listened to the entire interview and not just the snippets that Instagram gave, he wasn't rude unless you were rude first. He wasn't disrespectful unless you were disrespectful first. And at the end, he got a little vulgar, but that was because he was frustrated because you're asking him questions, he's giving you answers, and you're not listening.
But what see, do you people say don't to that,
listen
Rosa?
To the entire what do you interview. Say to that?
I hear what you're saying as far as like talking about the facts and that he sticks in the way that he did, but I think the delivery for me, like, I can't receive what you're saying if the way that it's just the way that he would deliver things. For example, when he told one girl after 35 years old, you know, if things haven't happened for you, your life is over. That's not okay.
You didn't watch the whole video.
No, but
exactly. Because if you listen to the whole thing, he asked her, how do you rate yourself? He never rated her. He asked her, how do you rate yourself? She said a 5 or a 6. He said, that's average. So if you're average, why is dating an average man an insult?
It's true.
And this is
so you people don't listen to the entire thing.
Is
there a lot of truth in that or no? Is there a lot of truth in that? Because the funny thing is about it, anybody that follow me know I've been saying a lot of this stuff way before him, but I don't say it exactly like he said it. But the deal is, what he said was true. You start as a woman, you hit 35, you hit 40, your numbers start to decline. And that's just a fact.
What numbers? What numbers?
So your pool.
I need more.
Now I'm agree with that one.
So your pool decreases, right? So we all have a number age or whatever where your numbers start to decrease, your pool starts to decrease. You're 35, and I would say 40 more than 35. A woman
to
who? 40.
To who though?
To men.
To what kind of men?
What
because
man?
I think specifically Kevin and maybe 40? Yourself are talking to a specific
35?
Yeah, but you're older. But yeah. That's the deal. You're older than that. So if you're a 35-year-old man, you don't want a 35-year-old woman.
You want a 50-year-old woman.
If you're a 35-year-old man, you don't want a 50-year-old woman. You want a young.
I was 35 before, trust me.
Okay. You want a 50-year-old woman?
You're speaking general.
You're
speaking in general.
I'm not talking about you, Faith.
Talk about me, goddammit.
I know you probably would. But the average 35-year-old man don't want a 35-year-old woman. He messing with a 25-year-old woman. And if you're a 45-year-old man, you're messing with a 35-year-old one.
But see, he wasn't speaking in general. He was speaking to the person that called him.
But he was talking in general, though.
But he's speaking in general when he makes those statements.
Absolutely.
Whether if it's that one situation where she's calling herself average, the world is receiving it. Like, you're telling me my life is over at 35 years old and I can't have a partner. When some people's lives begin at 40, 50, that's when their prime is actually happening.
But he didn't say you could not have a partner. He was saying that you should be more realistic about the partner that you choose.
Right.
I was watching one episode where a girl, he asked what the girl was, and she was like a 10. Like, she was clearly like a 4.
Yeah.
So she was like clearly a 4. And I understand that all women are taught that you're a princess and that the world's supposed to revolve around you. But if you are 4, then as my man said,
that's a good one. That's a good one. I took that out of my mouth. Yeah.
So that's a good
one. What are we basing the 10 on?
So everyone knows or has an average. So I could look at the ladies at this table and I could say,
I'm leaving.
I could look at this table and say, no, these are beautiful women, right? So I think that's pretty universal. Anywhere you go, you would think that you're beautiful. If you 275 pounds, 5'1", you know what I'm saying, with a bad lace front wig.
And two teeth
and
missing.
You know you're not a 10, but you know that.
For somebody,
right, but not Eddie. Overall. For the one or two people.
We're not counting him.
For the one or two people that is, that appeals to, that's not, you know, overall, you know you, because I call it the love market. The love market tell you what your number is. Easy. If you walk in a restaurant, you walk in a club, right? If you walk in a restaurant and you're pretty, y'all can go to most restaurants and drink and eat for free, right? There's some chicks that night not going.
Where?
They not going to go anywhere and eat and drink for free, right? You're not going to get any drinks or none of that, right? You're going to walk in and you're going to be like, can you give me a drink? And everybody going to be like,
Hell no.
I can't give you no drink. So that's a very easy, you know what your numbers are.
Those women want it. What did they call them? What did they say? They want a high-valued men.
Right.
What the
they
hell?
They were not speaking on your average man because clearly they could get them. They wanted high-valued men.
Right.
And in their minds,
what does high-valued mean?
In their minds, how high-valued was money. And he said high-valued is not just money.
It's not just
so can
money.
We also apply this to the scale that
his definition
are?
Of high
what's
value.
What's the definition?
What'd you say?
Give us the definition.
By my recollection, his definition of high value man was not just the money you made. For instance, there are a lot of athletes who made $1 million this year, but they're not high value. It's the amount of money you made over a certain period of time, plus your social connections.
As you can be define mentioned. Social connections for me.
For instance, when his family contacted me, I could have money, but I might not have the connections that necessary to make sure get this done and that done and that done.
Okay.
You know, for instance, both of you guys, I've contributed to both of y'all's campaigns.
Yes, sir. We appreciate that too. Thank you very much. Yes, sir.
And so you do that. That takes time and knowledge and the understanding that I may need friends in the future. So that's what he meant also by, you know, your social connection.
Man, I thought you sent me that money because you like me, man.
I sent you that money because I believed in your campaign. I examined your
platform,
and I knew that you would be the best man for that job. And I felt the same way about you. But it's not just about money. And people get caught up in that. And then also, and Kevin, it was dynamic.
Is it people that get caught up in that or women get caught up in that?
I think it's women, bro.
Yeah,
it's women, people, man.
It's women that get
yes, up. Because
but Brad,
I gotta tell a story, but go ahead.
There are even guys who don't have money who think mm-hmm. he's offending them too. There are a lot of guys who are offended by what he said.
Boy, he said some and shit that was so been, funny yeah. to me, dog.
He should have offended.
He said, right? he said, how tall are you? He said, 5'1". He said, and how much you weigh? He said, like 275. Yeah. He said, you got, and you make $400 a week?
He should have offended.
He said, you got a big dick?
I mean, he don't pick a struggle. Struggle in every area.
And they was funny as hell. But look, man, I was going to say, what the fuck was I going to say?
You said you got a story.
I have a hell of a story, but I can't remember the motherfucker.
Well, one thing about it is that Kevin was an equal opportunity insulter. And also critiquer. You know, like the thing is that well before Kevin started going at women or centering his platform around women, he was critiquing men. He was giving advice to men for years.
Right.
And men accepted it. You didn't see any outrage. I mean, you saw some man that, you know, didn't tune in. But for the most part, men accepted it. It was men who built his platform. Right. And once those videos started going viral, women started watching. Right. And then that's when the criticism came.
Well, that's because men accept it. We know our pecking order from when we kids. You was an athlete growing up. You knew your pecking order. You know, if you was an entertainer, you knew your pecking order. You was an ugly dude in school, you knew your pecking order. You was the cute dude, a nice looking dude, a handsome dude in school. You had all the women, you knew your pecking order. We accept it. It's women that don't accept their pecking order. It's sixes saying that they should have a 10 because their mamas told them that you should have a 10. You are the greatest thing since sliced bread. To your mama, not to everybody else. To your mother.
So man, that is so fucking mean, bro.
That's the truth, though.
That's mean as shit.
The scale. What are we basing the scale on?
I think we're basing on the scale on gender currency. Okay.
So what do you bring to the table is the question, right?
It's like men have gender currency, right? Like men have... men bring their finances. They bring protection, strength.
And the dick to the table.
There you go.
That part.
Women. That's not a social. Dick is not a social currency.
Shit.
You got a big dick. That's what you said.
Not a social, but a gender currency. No, pussy is a gender currency. Nobody ever started a war over some dick. Okay.
That's true.
But you're all right, Willie.
It's just
right.
Not as expensive.
Well, he referred to it as a sexual marketplace value.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's based on women who are fit, feminine, their youth. And for men, it's based on your physical fitness, how much money you make, and your social status. So that's when you put those two together, then it determines what you can get on the market.
Absolutely.
And basically, he treated it like, and you have to understand, primarily, Kevin was a businessman, and he saw it. He saw the sexual marketplace as a business. What can I leverage to get what I want? Now, if you're a man who is 5'1", 300 pounds, and you make $400 a month,
not a lot,
then you're not going to be able to leverage much on the sexual
marketplace. Not unless you got one of these.
Right.
And I think women understand that. Like mm-hmm. the way you just explained that, I think every woman in here heard that.
But they didn't.
I don't think they do.
No, I'm talking about for men.
Right.
I'm talking about when he just, that example he just gave with men, if you fire one, 300 pounds, you know, make $400 a week, I don't see a lot of women saying,
there's
yeah, that's
somebody
right.
for him.
Yeah,
there's not for you.
But
to go back on your pecking order, we know ours as well. I don't think there's a person in the world that hasn't dealt with since school, like, okay, this is the attention that I get, whether it's at home or from strangers. Like, girls know the same way guys know. If you never got attention, it shows in your adulthood, regardless of your age. New attention shows very loudly.
Ghetto Boys Reloaded Podcast. We'll be right back after the break.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Yo, I'm hype. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed down to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with the Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and share it with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You will not want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Opportunity is not equally distributed. To every Black entrepreneur listening, I want to make sure you have the tools and resources you need to grab your next opportunity. That's why I'm telling you about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million Black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the Black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have Black ownership. This program gives Black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 Black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million Black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being Black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive 120-day free trial at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
Let's say you've never met a man before and your friend gives you a description of this guy. Girl, he 5'1", 300 pounds. Right. He make $400 a week. Right. Does that sound like somebody you might remotely think about dating?
No.
No.
Or.
But that's not what I'm saying.
Or if you say she had no money. You know, because to a man, you said she had no money.
No money.
She has no education.
She big.
But she, no, hold on. She got no money. She has no education. But she bad as fuck.
Yeah, she.
You still, most headache, men, you right. Fuck who they are, they're going to fuck with.
Yep. And that's because.
That's the difference between men and women.
And Kevin exactly. pointed that out. That. Men don't care about your education.
Right.
Or your money.
They don't care about your money. That. They care about what you look like.
Dumb as a fucking wagon.
There are how many that are that
fit, feminine, fit, beautiful, feminine. Yeah. He had an acronym for pretty much all that. I get what he was saying.
You
he
know how I many women that face smash?
Well, hey, don't. Boy, don't put me out there like that.
Like, you know how many McDonald's women?
No, how many McDonald's women? How many McDonald's women smash me? Oh, I'm the one that ran through.
Right. I ain't gonna push your table.
Your brand been ran through. Yeah, yeah, so,
yeah. You don't do no smashing.
I get smashed.
I feel the same way.
Girl will call me and be like, "Hey, where you at? Where I need to be?" I get you.
Smash me.
Hey, big head.
Yes, big head. Slap me out. Fuck
so
it.
Depending upon their experience, what they've been through, what a past relationship looks like, and that's also driving a lot of people's preferences and what they think they can get. Because a man that just cashed his check, that's not looking amazing that day, but he just cashed his check, is feeling really great about himself. He's feeling really good. He didn't got all his ones in his pocket. So that has boosted his ego. So that drives a man to, could drive a man to a certain type of woman also.
I don't, well.
But see, that's just like a woman, you know, they just say a lot of ball players, they think they supposed to keep getting ball players for some reason. That's how they feel, you know? So like, they're not just going to take, oh, well, you got the average Joe that, you know, make good money, whatever, you know, good looking guy.
Eventually, you have to go home.
Yeah.
Eventually, you got to go home.
Reality calls. Reality does call, but I mean, you got to go home. You described a lot of women.
Right.
That's it. Like, that's their vibe.
You say your life starting to show.
That's.
Yeah, yes. Your stomach getting big. It's time to come on back home
women
now.
Should look it's over. Dating like
being drafted.
Women should look at dating like being drafted.
Come on back home. And you should slut me out.
You should look at dating like men look at your NFL career. Your first contract, your 20s, that's when you get all the money. Everybody want to recruit you. Everybody want to bring you on the team. And I don't care how good you is, once you hit that second contract, okay, how good you are at that second contract, you're not as worth as much as that first contract. And if you make it to the third contract, your 40s, you're not as worth what you was in your second.
Nah, that second contract, the money.
Unless you're Tom Brady.
You're wrong on that one.
Unless you're Tom Brady. And then that's the exception that Tom Brady. Right. And that's the exception that Kevin spoke about.
The first contract, we don't know enough to know what we are even negotiating for yet.
But that's when we want you the most.
Right.
Yeah, but when you hit your fourth contract, when you're in your 40s.
No, when you're in your mid-40s, it's like.
That's most men.
Players that's getting drafted all pretty much making the same money, but that second contract is the one.
Yeah.
Right.
And you that's might be able one. To go overseas on your third.
Exactly.
That's right. And
I'm on the
sideline. You got
to
go overseas.
Looking at you like.
That's when you drop.
But that's what we're talking about when you're saying you want to date, you know, other races and everything like that. It's the same thing. Both sides have equal opportunity to do whatever that they want. It's
true.
A certain group of people that you're talking to where between the age and the classism that we're talking about that applies to. But that this whole rhetoric doesn't apply to everybody.
It's pretty consistent across the board.
Well, to you.
And Kevin said for those women that wanted these high valued men, he said, how many do you know?
Right.
They didn't know any.
Oh, God.
So that goes back to what you said. Like, if how do you want this and you're not that and you don't even know those people? You're not even in those social settings to even.
We're in agreements. I think every man here is in agreement with you on that. I don't think you have an argument from us with that.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have one. What's
no, it's not.
Is it agree with what
you
she just said?
Violence?
So Vivica Fox called Kevin a hypocrite, right? Because of the way that he lived his life. She said he did what he told women not to do.
Well, what was that?
What did he
this
do?
This is.
I know. But
right after Kevin died, she had made the comment. She called Kevin a hypocrite and said that he was having, he did what he warned women against. And that was, he was with a woman that was not black. And that's what she said. He was with a woman that was not black. And she was, in her opinion, I guess, overweight.
She was on the end of thick. So
that's
and
complete,
I don't think that was the chick, right?
That's a complete farce.
Yeah, that wasn't even a chick.
She's obviously uninformed.
Yeah.
And oh, she damn. She probably should watch it because she's going to get herself a defamation lawsuit.
Wow.
That's from the estate. Or these disparaging remarks are just going to cause for his fan base to definitely.
They already own her.
Yeah.
Really?
So, they it's just a lot of times we balk at the idea of let's wait to get all the facts in before we make a decision. Vivica Fox and all of these different people have obviously made a crucial error in jumping to conclusions without even knowing the facts. they're basing their information on what's on the internet. And if you begin to base your information and your knowledge on the internet purely without double checking it, you're going to make a mistake. And that's what you saw happen there. So I would suggest that all of these periodicals, media takeout, LA Times, the New York Times, begin to be very careful with the statements that they're making. Again, I'm not representing the estate of Kevin Samuels. He has his own attorneys for that. We're in talks with the same lawyers who represented Cardi B, both in Atlanta and New York, and they should probably be very careful.
So they know what they're doing about this defamation.
You know, this, again, this is my friend, okay? And, you know, I look forward to doing business with him. But the thing that I'm looking out for now is his mother and his daughter, who's trying to graduate from college on Saturday.
Dang.
For her to see her, she is not, her father is not, his only daughter has graduated from college on Saturday, and he's not going to be there to see her. His poor mother, who didn't even know he was famous, had to learn about her son dying from the internet.
Yeah.
There have been news reporters contacting his mother, who is in her 70s, to try to get her response to the 911 tape where this woman is frantically trying to save his life. They want her response. This has been a despicable display all the way around. And when you have artists and entertainers like that who are just trouncing on this man's reputation, recognize that my friend is dead. He is dead. He is not here. He is not conscious. But his little girl and his mother have to see this. And so they should be much more responsible with the things that they say. And I'm not saying that as an attorney or as a spokesperson, but as a human being.
Mm. When you say Vivica Fox is the case study of what he's talking about, so she's that chick, and now she's the old chick that don't get the dudes and the guys and the likes and the wants that she once was, and now somebody like Vivica, like
she can slut me out.
She can slut you out.
Fucking right.
But go ahead. No, really. But don't you think that's what? Because I only saw women angry that fit the bill. I only saw women that was really angry that fit the bill. Hmm. I saw some women disagree with what he said, but only the anger and some of the nastiness always came from women that fit the bill of what Kevin was talking about.
Well, and they didn't actually listen to the whole thing. They, once again, just heard the clips.
I think they listened, but I think it hurt.
I only saw clips, mm-hmm. like on Instagram and stuff, and it would infuriate me because it was like, oh my gosh, like there's already so many young men that don't have male figures or father figures in their life. And if we're going to put toxicity in the mix, where we already have that in our culture, right? Like it's mm-hmm. in our music, it's in everything. This is all they have. But then a friend of ours was like, no, watch the full videos, like see the full message. And I think both of you are right. It is based on those of us that are tone sensitive. Sometimes your message is not going to get across to me depending on the way that you say it. So and it's okay. I know
what
that
did
about
you say
myself.
About men that made you feel like it was toxic?
A basic summarization, because I'm not going to quote this man. I cannot quote him.
Okay.
Two things. One, for women first.
No, I'm just talking about for men. That you felt like, oh my God, he said some horrible about men.
You should not date unless you have a certain amount of money. I don't remember exactly.
So you felt for
and
men.
And I felt like, especially men in their early 20s, you should be out dating and see what that looks like and feels like for you so that you can figure it out for yourself, like make your own path. Yes, you should be okay to where you can take a woman out, but don't wait until you have your life all the way together. Because if you wait until you're 35, 40 to date a woman for real for the first time, it may not go so well. And that's my opinion.
So you felt for men like because usually women don't have the problems with what he said about men. They only have the problem when they say about women. And if I was talking to my son, I would tell my son to wait later in life before he get in a serious relationship. I don't think he was saying don't date, but before you try to like wifey someone up, you should take care of certain things in your life so you'll be able to be that man that you want.
Mm-hmm. I heard my man tell him about how strong his sons is already, right? So he's mm-hmm. teaching them there's certain things, there's certain values that they're going to have. As a kid, my father told me as a man, the bare minimum, I should be a provider. Mm-hmm. Remember what I said? I said the word was bare minimum. He didn't say that was it. He said, but that bare minimum. You got a lot of brothers that even covering that part. They ain't that bare minimum, they not being the provider in their homes. Mm-hmm. So why would you have a problem with him telling brothers, go out there, work four jobs if you have to, because we want the high value woman too. So how are you going to get the high value woman? Because that's why he was talking about the dude that was 5'1", 300 pounds, making $400. Like, why do you have a problem with the real, have someone telling you the truth?
Well, I didn't say that just now, right? Like, I gave you a very specific example of what I had an issue with. I don't have an issue with them saying, if you want to be that 12% man, go work those four jobs or however many jobs. He said, work mm-hmm. at McDonald's, you know? Again, I can't give you verbatim what this man said.
Yeah.
And no disrespect to anything that he had to say. It was his opinion. We all have the right to our opinion.
That part.
But I don't, the only thing I strongly disagree with is telling people not to go out and find themselves regardless of where they are, because there is someone, no matter what, that's going to match you.
Yeah, but he didn't say that. He didn't say
everybody's not going to be in that 12%.
But he never told the dude that worked at McDonald's not to go get the McDonald's girl.
But his thing was get your shit together.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you something that resonated with me, because I grew up poor. I grew up disadvantaged. And a lot of the reason why there was so much trauma and drama in my life was because of insufficient living. Mm-hmm. I recognized that early on. So I promised myself that I would not procreate until I got some real money. Not just enough money to take care of the babies, but enough for me to enjoy life also.
Mm-hmm.
I understood that at an early age, because if you bring children into this world and you ain't got no fucking money, you're going to bring them into a world where they are at a social disadvantage.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They are going to go out there and they're going to see other kids having shit, and they're going to want that shit.
Right.
And they're going to compromise their convictions. They're going to compromise whatever it is you taught them. It's going to break down. Mm-hmm. It's going to break down all those walls. They're going to cross all those boundaries, and they're going to become something that you don't want to see. So it is incumbent upon all of us, I do believe, that we get our shit together financially, especially a man, at the bare minimum. You get your shit together financially before you start, you know, procreating. And I'm going to tell you something else. I don't even feel like having sex. And I know I might be in this, I might be in the minority here. I don't feel like
no, I don't want to be slutted out anymore.
But look,
I'm not fucking old now.
But this is me. This is me when I was even broke. I'm not in the mood for sex if my shit ain't right. If my money ain't right,
I get you.
I can't even get excited.
Yeah. And that you in your early 20s?
In my early 20s.
Okay.
Because I was always I understood I was on a mission. I knew I had to get the paper. So, I had to get to the paper.
Well, you know me and you've been on tour together, right?
I'm not saying I didn't have sex.
Right.
I'm not saying I did not have sex. But I'm telling you, it was difficult for me to really be there when I was broke.
And that's
because
fair.
I was always thinking about, like, I got to get out of this shitty ass position. Like, I'm in a fucked up position.
I'm in my auntie house
trying
to get some.
Another thing is that I do believe that sex is a reward for hard work.
I agree with that.
Shit.
All right.
I agree.
Yeah.
I'm a winner.
It's a no for me.
That's
not
good. And the thing is, you guys, Kevin Samuels was a well-studied.
I need to eat like a man.
That's a man.
And so a lot of the concepts that he got from, you know, I understand. For instance, Dr. Francis Cress Welsing suggested that black men and women in this country should not get married before the age of 35, but men specifically and women 30, because of the system of white supremacy racism. Even the Honorable Elijah Muhammad spoke about black men getting themselves together, cleaning themselves up before they decided to procreate, because all you do is exactly what Willie D said. You bring children into this world and you're ill-prepared to take care of them.
Yep.
I say the same things to my sons. And if you take that pressure off of them to be with a woman in their 20s when they're not ready, right, then you take that pressure off of them so they can then build themselves up and be the pillars of the Black community that we need, right, them to be, as opposed to rushing out there thinking they're men before their time period, right, and then doing something stupid or being feel like in order to prove myself to be a man, I have to sell drugs. I have to get money anyway. I got to get rich or die trying at 19 years old. So
I got it. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I understand, and all these men in here understand a masculine mentality.
Right.
And Kevin understood it too. And that's why I said, look, get yourself together first. It's greater later. Don't rush.
Right.
Because if you make these men feel rushed, they're going to do what you all call crazy things. That's why you have so much economic crime going on during Christmas. Men want to feel like men, so they go out and start robbing grocery stores and banks and whatnot. And that's why you have such an uptick in crime and breaking in entries during these time periods where men are expected to demand. And the only way they're expected to meet a demand and the only way you can meet that demand is through financial sufficiency to your woman.
And that, and there's a lot of pressure on men to meet that, you know, those terms. And absolutely. Let me ask the women in here, who amongst us are dating, seeing a guy that makes less than $500 a week?
Yeah, I want to know that too.
I'll wait.
Yeah, I'm listening.
You should ask us first if we're dating.
Okay. Are you dating? No. Are you dating? You're not even dating at all. You dating? Okay. But how much he make?
Oh, I'm worth it.
Do we make more than $500? You dating? More than $500?
Everyone.
You dating? Over.
More than $500?
Yes.
Okay. See, that goes to Kevin's point. Like, we can talk about money all we want to, and we can try to put that number on it all we want to, but every single woman, you know, has a number.
What's
all right?
that number? What's that number? What's the magic number?
Every single woman has. Every single woman has a number.
I don't have a number.
What's the
magic?
So what's the magic number? You don't have a number. You don't have a number. You don't have a number.
I've never.
You don't have a number.
The 500 man.
You're saying. Hold on. So you're saying you date a man and make 50 G's?
No.
No.
Do you have a number?
I don't have a number. I know what I want to.
Would you date a man and make 50 G's?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Would you marry a man that make 50 G's?
That's good.
Nope.
Then but I can tell you why.
It took too long. What's that family? It's okay for you to have a number.
I'm not saying anybody got a number.
But it's okay for you to want somebody to make more than 50,000, but...
It's dependent.
Y'all don't want to make over 50,000.
No, it's dependent. If he can.
Like, they drive.
Please don't say what you want.
No, that's my point. I need somebody that makes more than me.
We're talking about how if a dude make 50,000, right, but he good with it, you can only be so good with the 50,000.
Definitely not what I was about to say.
It's just so much you can stretch 50,000.
I just want somebody that makes more than me.
At all.
Yeah, I want somebody to make money than me.
What makes her more important than mine?
Right,
he makes 50 right now, but there's a plan to, you know, aim higher, get better.
How old are you?
34.
So what's your, like? How old is this dude that's making his 50 G's?
Not. 60. Not younger than 30.
You got one more year, so by the way, according to Kevin.
35.
So he's older.
That don't apply to me.
So hold on.
He's
older.
Let's say 34. Yeah, let's.
And he's making 50 G's, and you tell him about he's going to have aspiration to make more?
Aspiration to make more, or he can Kris Jenner my situation.
No, what not by you. If you make it to 40 and you still making 50 G's, there's no Kris Jenner your way nowhere.
Maybe he...
If he win a lottery.
Maybe he just, you know, came from a late bloomer. I don't know. He's a late bloomer.
See, this is the type of nonsense that we're talking about right here. If you fit 40 years old and you make 50,000, there's no aspiration. You are 40 years old because you don't have a lot of aspirations and you're making 50. That's why.
In most cases, you can lost your jobs and had to start over.
That's what I was accepting. It shouldn't be based off of the number. So that's why we're all Not answering your question because people do start over in COVID. I started over in COVID. Multi-million dollar companies have to start over. Fifty thousand dollars, baby, come on, man, that makes this magical amount of money. And we're upset at them asking us for anything. And that's not the case.
Say it one more time. I'm missing Williams, though.
I feel like we might be on the other side of what you're describing. That's what it sounds like to me at this table. But like, we may be a little bit more. I don't think anybody
honestly would date a guy or want to date a guy. So we'll say that we want to date a guy that make 50 days.
I don't know if that's true, because you may be at a table with women that believe in partnership.
Okay, exactly. That's why I said I'm not going under. You're in a partnership.
And then y'all break up.
And that because works. Because I guess that mentality comes into play when the tables turn.
Are you in a partnership?
Because the tables can go in. That's not fair. Because
are you in a partnership?
That's personal.
That's where Kevin would be like,
that's what I thought.
Cut you off.
The tables can turn at any time.
And then y'all broke up, and then how do you
what you like? It's so
dissolve the partnership.
You're not into no partnership.
I'm speaking in general.
Do you like nice clothes?
I do.
You know, like nice watches.
But I guess for me, like, I'm okay with taking care of what I need for myself first and foremost.
So you'll live in like a 1,500 square feet.
So I'm okay. I would never, because I would never do that for myself without a partner. So okay, my expectations for myself come first, and they are very high.
So you got the David Yurman bracelet on. So that means you're not.
That shows that she's able to do that for herself, though.
Okay, so that means
I have one from Target also.
So that means you want to live a certain type of lifestyle. And if a dude make 50 get G's, partnership or no, you're not going to be able to live that life. I had a panel work, I think you was there, where a young lady was an attorney. And she got up and said this nonsense, right?
That what's the nonsense?
I want a partnership, and I want to love him from the south to the north, and then we'll come up together.
But those women
are not going to happen.
No. She said she
I don't even believe in no shit like that, and I'm very optimistic.
Right. She said she wanted to make a day to do make $50,000.
Ghetto Boys Reloaded Podcast. We'll be right back after the break.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey everyone, I am so excited. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with a Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with a Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You won't want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill of your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong,
and asthmatic, and at higher risk? get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Let's talk about us aging out now, right? Y'all are saying the age is 35.
I know what you're talking about.
Is it?
Well,
is that the discussion?
If we're talking about what Kevin was saying, he's referring to something that's been in China. They have something called leftover women.
Okay, yeah, that's exactly what he's talking about.
Let me give it to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's an article that came out about 7 years ago, and China is going bankrupt because they have so many, or actually in South Korea, they have so many women who are unmarried and they're not contributing to the tax base because women don't make enough money to support themselves in the society. Same thing here in the United States. Men make more money. We contribute more to the tax base. It is the men's taxed money that pays for the roads, that pays for the ambulance, or the utilities that we use. It's men. So when a woman has a job, she's not making enough or not paying enough back in the system to take care of her end of the social financial contract that you have with the country. So that's what's going on in South Korea. They refer to it as leftover women, and they point to the age of 27. They are now having problems they are having problems with sustaining their country. And so Kevin quantified that and said, okay, well, black or American women, the age is 35 when they stop being beneficial to and I don't want to, he had this study down, but that's what he meant. And he's relating it to the United States. Here, ladies, use this. This is what's going on in South Korea. And it's also going on in Japan. So this is not just an American phenomenon. It's happening in all of the Western based countries. In Japan, I know people, well, it's in the East, but they're still more Western than Eastern.
So without giving a resolution to that, so at 35, you age out, right? You're done. So what is the suggestion that a woman should do at that point?
Lower your expectations.
Yeah, he just gave you the game.
So I had said that previously that, you know, what he says is harsh. The messaging, it stings. It's like a mean dad. But there's a lot of truth to what he says. I think his intent is to motivate, but it doesn't always do that. Like, it goes in the other direction sometimes because he throws in those.
But I hear that sometimes.
It was delivering, you know, I mean.
But it was the women with the unrealistic expectations. He would ask you to be honest. He would ask you what you look like. And you're 275 pounds, 5'1", with
had a chest tag.
Yeah, chest, right, all that. And then you said you was a 10. Stop. Come on, man.
Be realistic.
Be realistic.
I still think there's ways that you can communicate effectively because people will receive it. If they can understand, they actually will receive it from a different way.
I don't think women would have received it.
I'm going to tell you, it was for entertainment. And it could be detrimental to somebody.
Very calmly and tried to deliver it nicely. She did not get it. She kept saying, but, or I think, or I have a business, or, but she kept making excuses. And then that's when entertainment comes in.
And this brother brought it up. The more money I make and the more educated you are, that you're more value to us per se. Mm. And if a man is really making money, like he's really making, he's what they call, because I don't call it high value men. I say men that check all the boxes. Because I wouldn't want to say because he make more money than him or he make more money than him that somehow he's more valuable. But they're all boxes.
Because the opposite of high value is low value.
Right, low value, right. So I say check all the boxes. So the more boxes you check the more valuable you're going to be in anything, whether it's a car, whether it's a commodity, whether it's a business, where, you know, whether it's relationships, the more boxes you check, the more value you are. You have women only checking 4 or 5 boxes, trying to get a man with a checks 10 boxes. And it's just unrealistic. So I think at the core, he was saying, just be more realistic. Stop lying to yourself. Cause that's what I always say when women say, well, I date a man to make 50 and then use cold words like ambitious. No, it don't go together. Right? that type of ambition.
No, and sometimes he might need the right woman by his side to get him to where he needs to go. Because sometimes he doesn't have the right partner.
At 40?
I mean, you never know. Some people hit their primes at different times. And like I said, we talked about COVID, people starting over. Like, I mean, just to put everything in a box and say, you need to make this amount of money. Like, I just don't think that's really
realistic. If you talk to me, a man that made $400,000 a year, right? And then went through COVID and now he's making 50. That's something totally different. What we're all saying is we don't want to use these one-offs that women always do. I know somebody that live in Michigan where the woman makes $600,000, he made $20,000, and they have a harmonious relationship. The fact of the matter is that usually doesn't work. So if you're 40 years old and you're still making 50 and you've been making it for the last 10 years of your life, most of the time, that is where your ambition lies. Now, there's nothing wrong with that because I got cousins that make 50. They have great lives, but they're equally yoked with the woman that with. They make 40 or 30, they make 50, and their lifestyle is that of
$1 household.
Right. Yeah. That make that type of money. But you have these women that want to live, you know, the $300,000-$400,000 life, talking about, well, I would date a dude that make $50,000 and you got, if you even do it for yourself, because it's even worse, you got $10,000 on your wrist. It's just not going to work.
This is all based on math and data. When I haven't heard one of you say, oh, the love or how this person makes me
love
feel.
Don't pay the bills.
Don't pay right.
Love don't pay the bills. Love don't know about the economics. Love is a criminal.
Love can be paid with $50,000 a year. It happens. Like, period.
Every woman that gets a man that makes that much less than him, that loves her to death, is bored with him within a year.
Well, look at our society now. You're talking about so many women being unwed or the divorce rates being so high. If we're going based off of, oh, your numbers don't match my numbers, or, you know, because I'm living this way, I should be able to have however many women or do whatever I want. If we're all going to go by the same thing and we're all not matching up to that, then where is that going to leave us? With more men wearing purses?
I think there's something that Kevin understood that a lot of us who study this relationship phenomenon understand. Love was never traditionally a part of marriage. It's a recent invention since the 1700s. Prior to that, it was about duty and who matches well together. Right. Your family has this land. Our family has this herd of sheep. So we're going to come together and y'all are going to make a family because it's beneficial for society. What Kevin was pointing out, he always said this me society that we have. So it's not about, in today's day, it's about me, as opposed to the family that we're going to come together and make. So love, it's not about marriage, it's not about love, it's about duty.
Yep.
That's why those marriages lasted so long, because the duty outlasted the love. You can fall out of love pretty quickly because it's a feeling. You know, just like you can go from mad to angry to happy to sad, but duty remains. And I think that's the thing Kevin was trying to point out. But another point that you had, you brought up how he talked to you. Now, I'm in a room full of guys. Imagine your football coach said, hey, I want you to go over there and bear crawl, you know, 100 yards, and I want you to hit him full speed.
But I wasn't talking about him talking to men. I was saying for my ears.
But okay, so why can't you talk to men like that? Because they're masculine. Right. And they're going to laugh at you, and they're not going to hear you, and they're not going to respect you. Now, I think what Kevin realized is that because of the society that we live in, because women have been forced to work like men. They've been taught that if you work like a man and think like a woman or something, or if you go to school and get a job and, you know, you act like a man, then you'll get treated better. But in effect, what's happened is they become masculine. Mm-hmm. And he pointed that out every night. So how do you talk to, if you got to talk to a masculine man rough for it to click, you got to kind of talk to a masculinized woman.
Right. To do that.
I think that, that's not across the board. Yeah. But I think that's what he realized. And we're talking about communication. Not what was said, but was an effective communication. If this guy was the type of person, I could say, look, I want you to hit the 3-hole tuck the ball, run for a touch. And he responded to that, fine. But if I say, hey, get your butt through that hole, blah, blah, it might need to happen. Right. It's about effective communication. I mean, remember, this is a businessman that we're talking about. Right. And businessmen don't want to waste their time. Right. So as a businessman, was he given an effective communication with what he was saying? That's what you have to look at. Sterilize it. Recognize what this man was trying to do. Is separate yourself from the emotions, and I think you'll get a better understanding.
So I think that part is straight. We all agree to that. If you peel back all those layers of chaos and, you know, cut downs and being rude, that there is some evident truth to what he was saying. But it's just not necessary.
That butt Kevin be cutting you off on.
You can completely, if his intent is to help and to educate, you're going to understand your audience. You're going to lose a lot of people with.
He was going to lose
a lot.
What Kevin said, the way he said it, women would not be following him right now. They would not be talking about him. We would not even be doing this show right now if he said it in a nicey type of way. Because, and here's the thing, women are not mad at him because of his delivery. Because there are plenty of men out there on YouTube and social media that are making disparaging content about women every single day. Right. And these women are not following these men. Mm. They follow Kevin because Kevin was charismatic. Kevin was stylish. He was handsome. Yeah. He was educated. He had money. He had all the things. And he was charming. He was funny. Yeah. He had many of the attributes that women want, that they look for. And that's why they went to him saying, let me go listen to this guy who is like the guy that I want. And he's saying shit, telling me how to get one. So that's why I'm finna go over here and listen to Kevin. That's why they were tuning in to listen to Kevin. And then it's like the love guru here said, when they couldn't check those boxes, that's when it became a problem. I believe that the venom came from those who couldn't check those boxes. And that's when the venom came.
I think you step on toes, right? And so then people automatically, they completely disconnect. But if we could get women, and you can't get every woman to listen without emotion, but if I can listen because he didn't really bother me or really offend me.
Because you checked more.
But I honestly listened because I felt like, you know what? This could potentially be free game. So let me listen. And because if he thinks like this, then there's a lot of men that think like this.
Let me figure out how to manipulate this whole situation.
Every woman that check most of the boxes, listen. It would be just like if somebody walked in here and say, all broke niggas need to go home. None of us would be like, damn. You broke niggas better get out of here. You know what I'm saying? We wouldn't get angry because it wouldn't apply to us. You're right?
What about the woman that's trying to be better, though? Because there's the flip side.
Did you listen?
Yes, he did try, but they didn't want to hear it. The ugly fat chick didn't listen to none of it.
But you said the people who actually, you said they check off the boxes or don't who listen to him.
I said the women that check more boxes listen. The ones that the least amount of boxes were angry. And they were angry because he knew, she knew. You ever been in church and the preacher's talking about something and you get offended because they think they looking straight at him and they talking to him or them or her because those chicks thought he was talking straight to them.
It was those chicks that were calling the show. Exactly. So now the ones that were getting upset. They needed the advice. I've never met a chick that was a nine that was upset with Kevin.
Never. Never. I've yet to meet a chick that was nine.
We're not going to argue with you about the ratings and stuff.
I haven't.
Not going to argue. But I think that some of the only time I got upset, literally the only time I really got upset, was hearing the clips on Instagram and stuff about
the scale for women. Oh, you're this number, you're that number. Seeing clips of that without a true introduction or watching a full video, that's the only time I got upset. I felt like, man, for our community, this doesn't feel good at all. That was my introduction to him.
It was a white man talking about a white woman, because I saw some white boys saying, talking about scales. Were you upset with that? Would that have been
I didn't
bad?
See that, but that would have upset me if they were talking about us.
Why?
But they scaled themselves, though.
If they were talking
She's
about us.
She's saying it's offensive for our community.
Why? We shouldn't have scales. If you're not attractive, we shouldn't know it or see it.
But they scaled themselves. He asked them, how do you feel? How
That's
do you
not
rate
the
yourself?
Clip. That's all I'm saying. That was my introduction.
And that was the first thing I said. A lot of people only judged him based off of the clips and not
Instagram.
Actually watched
that
it.
That was my introduction.
But still, like,
if you only had a piece of it. She's saying she only had a piece of it. You're a 10, you're a 3, you're a 1, you're a 6. I would be offended. Just
if
because
three, would you be offended?
If you sat in this room right now and scaled the four of us in here, I would be offended.
It's uncomfortable.
But do you scale men?
All the time.
I do not scale men.
So if a man walked in who was 5'1", 300 pounds.
Can y'all lose this example? Why does that is a terrible example?
I'm just saying.
Finish
what you're saying. Because women. How they say that? They say, look at you, then look at me.
Right.
Make it make sense.
Right.
So, like, if I'm not that guy, like, and I'm trying to holler at you, but I'm looking at myself, I'm thinking I'm the shit, though. But you not feeling that. It's not for you. You would tell me.
If I tell you that personally,
if I'm that 500
that's
pound
one
guy,
thing. I tell you that
and I'm
personally.
Trying to holler at you. Mm-hmm. I'm that 500 pound guy mm-hmm. that's trying to holler at you. Mm-hmm. What you going to say?
You going to say, look at you? To me. I'm not going to say that, ever.
Say what?
I think she's not gonna say it out loud.
She's gonna be like,
"This motherfucker
did he really like, just try to holler at me?" That's what she's gonna say. She's gonna say, "Oh, you know, he was brave."
Like,
you know, this is the universal for this bullshit, right?
Nah, I mean, that's basically what it is. That's basically how a lot of women think nowadays. It's just like,
let me embarrass this man for approaching me?
Yeah, you're not going to necessarily embarrass him because a lot of people don't like rejection. But I'm saying, like, in general, you're thinking in your head, like, did he even, like, before he even. You know, what made him think that he could come holler at me, basically?
Can we just verbalize it? It's okay to judge people on how they look on the exterior.
Right.
Yes, we're okay with it. That's not my issue.
We should be honest with each other. It's hurtful that we all can't receive a merit award for showing up. And playing. It's hurtful that we all can't be tens. It's hurtful that we all can't have six packs.
Somebody gotta win, and somebody gotta lose.
But that's
okay.
You know, because we're all unique in our own way and we all have our quality. You may not have the physical beauty of this person or that person, but you're still a unique person. We have to learn to love ourselves. I think that's the most important thing. And Kevin Samuels was simply pointing out, I'm an image consultant. Here's the mirror. Right. This is what you look like right now.
That's not making me love myself if you're telling me I'm a fool.
But you're not loving yourself. You're not loving yourself if you think you look other than what you really look like. You're delusional.
But he wouldn't tell you you're a four if you didn't ask him
He's not going to just volunteer. He didn't just volunteer. He gave yourself a four. Even if you correct them, if they gave themselves a number too high, he would say, no, you're right. I've seen him correct. I'm doing you no favors
if you're a six or four and I tell you you're a nine. Because if I tell you a nine, then you try to play in the nine ball field.
But he
and
also
you shouldn't
didn't
be playing
base everything
nine.
Off of that number.
If you
it
are
was
four,
always
you should
factors.
Be playing in the four ball field. Then once you bring those expectations down and you start, then you start trying to find all the great fours and fours and fives.
They dreaming big.
Right. And then, right, and then you can live a better life, but you're going to be unhappy if you're a four, still thinking you should have a nine, seven, eight, or nine. And it's the same thing with a man. If you're not a nine or eight or seven and you're out there trying to get tens, I mean, you're going to have to spend a lot of money because otherwise you're not going to get what you want. So what he gave you was the game without you even knowing it. He was like, listen, you're four. This is what you look like. Now that we have that known, then go get that four.
Stay tuned for part two of the Ghetto Boys Reloaded podcast.
This episode was produced by A. King and brought to you by
the Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeartRadio.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful Black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. What's good, everybody? It's our favorite time of the year here at the Black Effect. We're headed down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details. AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.